The stage after prince is, obviously, to be a king. But the transition to being a king is so significant that we have to talk about it. First of all, so you get a sense of when it happens, a man may become an early prince, most likely in his late 20s or early 30s. When that's resolved, where he's going to establish himself, it'll be followed by 10 to 12 years of nose to the grindstone, head down, building, building, building. 6 months, 9 months, maybe a year of being a late prince, that state of grace, of confidence and a new horizon, excitement, interest in other parts of life. And then one morning, he wakes up plagued by questions, plagued by doubts, plagued by wonderings. Why did I do this? Does it really matter? Is it important? Was it worth the cost? Who am I? Who have I become? Who am I becoming? Is it really important? Does it really matter? And over and over and over again. And it's, as far as I can tell, it's a really rude awakening. Because there he was, confident and happy and almost to the end of the journey, almost arrived at the destination, and bam, everything goes into question. I call this transition from prince to king the tunnel. A man I know calls it the descent into darkness. And he calls it that because he says the further you go into it, the less certain you are about yourself. And this is something that, as a man, is really a crisis. What it is to be a man is to have ever-growing certainty about yourself. And for a woman, we don't understand it at all because a sense of self is one of the most difficult things for a woman to accomplish and to hold on to. Women are what I call externally motivated. We live outside ourselves. We're given by what's outside ourselves. And there's nothing wrong with that. I think it's the true source of our power and our magic. But the consequence is to begin with a very weak sense of self, and therefore to not understand what it is to be a person with a very strong sense of self that is becoming clearer and clearer. And the whole process of being a prince is of having reality match up to that sense of self, and then to one morning wake up and have oneself be in question. As women, we don't understand what that's like. We don't understand how confusing that would be, how frightening that would be. I've heard from men who've listened to me talk about this, and they've told me that they thought they were going crazy. They were completely baffled by how did this happen? How did I get here? Everything was going great. And because we don't talk about it, men don't know that it is a transition. It is a completely predictable transition to have happen in a man's life. And predictable that it will happen really close to a dozen years after he put his nose to the grindstone and started building that kingdom. So 12 years after becoming a middle prince, it's coming, you know, 11 years. You want to start watching for it. And there's nothing wrong. I consider it a sacred time in a man's life. The word existential would apply. And it's going to take courage. It's going to take courage to come out of the tunnel. And the courage is required because the resolution of the tunnel is a commitment on a man's part to who he is, which includes who he's not. And that's what it seems men are reconciling themselves to while they're in the tunnel, that there's a taking stock of who am I becoming, and is that who I want to be? There's a set in stone kind of quality. I am about to be written. Is what's about to be written what I want written? And there's also a loss in it, because with who I am becoming, with what I'm about to be, there's also everything I'm gonna not be. And I don't just mean as a career, although that can come into play. There's a letting go of, wow, I guess I'm not gonna be a rock star. I'm not gonna be an astronaut. I really am not gonna be a doctor. So there's a letting go of that. There's a real sorting out of what's important to me. I've been influenced by, shaped by, I've accommodated, I may even have adapted to what's important to my parents, what's important to my friends, what's important in my culture, what's important to my boss or my colleagues, what's important to my wife, what's important to my children. I've done all that. Now, what really matters to me? And the tunnel comes to an end when that has gotten sorted through and a man commits. He commits, this is who I am. And there seems to be a kind of element, I call them new kings. There's an element of, this is who I am. Can you deal with it? This is who I am. Sorry, you got to deal with it. There's a sort of like, this is who I am. Wonder how people are going to deal with it. Sweet. It's sweet. I like it. Like I said, I consider the tunnel a sacred time in a man's life. Unfortunately, in our culture, it's not thought of that way. In our culture, it's called a midlife crisis. And men who are in the tunnel are often made fun of for being in the tunnel. And men coming right out of the tunnel will be made fun of as well. And I'll talk about that in a minute. But it's, I think it's called a midlife crisis because it's a crisis for the people around a man in the tunnel, and especially a woman who's romantically involved with him. And what makes it a crisis are a couple of things. One is men have only one thing to commit with, and that is themselves. They commit to anything with themselves. And in the tunnel, themselves is in question. Themselves is quicksand. It's mush. It's a mess. It's not clear anymore. It's what has to be resolved. So a man in the tunnel has nothing to commit with. And for women, I think one thing that might help you relate to it is that experience of deciding, for example, okay, be patient. Be patient. And then we look in our bodies for the patience so we can be patient, And it's not there. There's no patience. We can't actually be patient. We have no patience to be patient with. Now, in that instant, we'll usually pretend to be patient and try to get through, and it's pretty gross. For a man to commit, it would be like reaching for that patience and there's none there. He reaches for himself and he's not there. He can't commit. And since he's not a woman, he's not going to pretend to commit. He just won't commit. And this drives us bananas. Makes us crazy. Because a decisive man makes us feel safe. Even if we're infuriated by what you have decided, being decisive makes us feel safe. So when a man is in the tunnel and what he commits with has gone missing in action, and so there is no commitment and therefore no decisiveness, we are really left in a lurch, and we have an instinctive, we have a very primitive reaction to that part of, oh my gosh, I'm on my own. Another way that it's a crisis for us is, I call it a one-man tunnel. We can't fit in there with you. These questions, these wonderings, these concerns and doubts that you're plagued by, you have to sort them out by yourself. And we can't help you. We'll try to help you, which is a mistake. We'll try to tell you the right answer. We'll remind you why it's so important what we built for the last decade. But that doesn't work. It's actually a mistake. It will create even more distance. And that is the part that's so scary for us. As women, we survive. Literally, we survive by being connected. And when we feel connected, we feel safe. When there's distance, we're scared. It's scary to us. So we crave intimacy, both for the way that it calms the cave woman within and for the delicious human spirit part of it. And so when a man is in the tunnel and he has to go through this on his own, he has to figure it out on his own, we're in a crisis of distance. We're in a crisis of intimacy. Now, the good news is it doesn't have to be that way. The tunnel can be one of the most intimate times in a woman's life, in being with a man, but only if she adjusts, only if she adapts to where he's at, which is why I'm bringing this to your attention. At least for women, that's why I'm bringing it to your attention. For men, I want you to know you're not crazy. You're fine. You're right on track. Just hang in there. You'll be fine. As a woman, if you adjust the way that you listen and the way that you interact, you can have more intimacy than you ever thought possible. And what you have to do is be safe. You have to be a safe space. You have to be a harbor. You have to be a nest. And that means that you have to calm yourself down. Nothing bad's going to happen. You can get through this. He is the man that you could have always seen if you looked. You have to trust he'll come out the other side, being more the self that was always available to be seen. And when he's wondering and questioning, and if you're lucky enough that he's sharing with you what he's wondering about and questioning, don't panic. Don't give your opinion. Don't tell him the right answer. Just listen. Just listen to what it is he's wondering about. And most of all, practice being his friend. And that might seem like a simple thing, except for that most women don't create friendships with their mates. They don't They don't date men that they would be friends with. They set their sights on capturing the man who is the best prize, not the man that they like the most or could be their best friend. So if you're in a relationship and you haven't become friends, this would be the time to do that. And friendship has that quality of caring about another person independent of their effect on you. And as the center of the universe, which every woman is born to be, that's one of the hardest things to do. It is a gift of human spirit. It's an expression of human spirit to choose to just be there for him and set aside any concerns about how this is going to impact you. Doesn't mean you have to go without what you need, but it's a budget. There are some things that you can't get from a man in the tunnel, a commitment being one of them. So if you're going to die without a commitment, it's the wrong guy to be with if you're dating, for example. He's all yummy and vulnerable, but he's not going to be able to commit. And if you can't be with that, then you should actually just be his friend. Couple other mistakes we make with men in the tunnel. The first being panicking, and more panicking. Another mistake we make is anything that sounds, smells, tastes, or feels like disrespect. And since our culture disrespects men in this transition, in our relationship, it would be the most natural thing to do. And we'll often call attention to their plight and make fun of them, which is the exact opposite of what they need. Don't make that mistake. It's over. It's over if you do that. And very, very difficult to repair, if not impossible to repair. What's great about men in the tunnel are the things that I've been mentioning. If you practice being safe to talk to, there is so much insight you can gain into who he is as a man and what has had him become that. It can be beautiful. The other advantage of being with a man in the tunnel is how much time alone he needs, which means that he's going to require less attention from the woman in his life. And that can be good news because his transition from prince to king should indicate to you a need to transition into being a queen. When he comes out as a king, you want to be ready for him. And we have little or no ability to relate to kings, given how we've been taught to be women in the last 30 years. We are, most of us, completely unprepared for relating to kings. So this period of time for him where he's questioning can be a respite for you from all the attention that he normally needs so that you can pay attention to yourself and your own growth and your own development, and specifically to pay attention to who are you. One of the unique qualities of the queen is a strong sense of self. And a king will look for that in a partner. Another characteristic is an enormous ability to receive. It will be necessary for who he's becoming. So developing the qualities of the queen is one of the most important things you can do while a man's in the tunnel. It's to prepare. Now, in our culture, we have so few role models for the queen, and in my opinion, very few ways to learn how to be her. So we actually have a whole curriculum dedicated to it. The first workshop's called Celebrating Women Regarding Ecstasy and Power, and it is nicknamed the Queen Workshop. To give you a sense of the timing of this, before we finish up with the tunnel, imagine that a man becomes an early prince in his early 30s, let's say it takes 2 years for him to find the right place for himself. So he's 32, 33 years old when he becomes a middle prince. Add 12 years to that, and you have a 45-year-old going into the tunnel. The tunnel lasts between 6 months and 3 years, depending upon, I think, if he's avoiding being there or embracing being there. And the more he embraces where he's at and has the support of the people around him to just be there, I think the more quickly he moves through it. And so now, you know, let's say it takes him a year and a half of being in the tunnel. He's 46, 46 and a half, 47 years old when he emerges as a king. So you would add and subtract time from that depending upon when a man figures out what he wants to do. When I shared this information with my father, his realization was that he became a king when he was 55. And as you can see, that's almost a decade later, totally fine. And it fit with his life and the things that he went through to discover what he really wanted to do and needed to do. And when he emerged a king, by golly, full-fledged king. The youngest king that I've ever met was 38. And he had gone into the tunnel when he was about 35 or 36 years old. But he was a very, very serious young man to begin with. Now, something that can happen that you should know about is a man can go into the tunnel, and as he sees what he's becoming, he can pull up short. He can go, whoa, I don't want to be that. I never wanted to be that. I didn't mean to get here. Cancel, cancel, begin over. And he'll actually go back to being a middle prince with a new career. And usually when they do that, what they become, what they engage in, is something that was probably their dream or their passion when they were younger that they gave up on in order to have a job to provide for a family, for example. And now that he's becoming a king, he can't let it go anymore. That's who he really is, and he's not willing to let it go anymore. So he'll start over. Fortunately, all the skills and the knowledge and the perspective that he gained from being a prince in the first place will have the process usually happen more quickly in that second career. He'll usually build more quickly than he did before. And when he then is thrown back into the tunnel, it's a much shorter tunnel. He'll, you know, can whiz right through that now that he's back on track. Now let's hear about the tunnel from men.